Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And Chris, guess what the pitch was? They'll never learn.
Right, there you have it. Home run call of the day. Will Benson, fifth home run in the last four games. Tommy Thrall, Jeff Brantley with the call, with the home run call of the day. Congratulations to Will. What a great way to have a weekend. What a great way to start the week. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. It was a great, great few days of baseball. Absolutely great. We appreciate everybody for hanging with us throughout the weekend as we storm into another week, as we storm into the last couple weeks of May, as we storm into June. Then you know what comes then, trade deadline. You know what then comes, the last couple months of the season. Then you have the best of the best, the World Series, the playoffs, all that. It's not that far away is what we're saying. The ebbs and flows of the baseball season are incredible. It really is incredible, I think. You know, we try to figure out when not to panic or when to panic. Well, you know, I think there's lessons to be learned from it all, right? There's win streaks to be had. Congratulations, by the way. In case you missed it, the Minnesota Twins, they won 13 in a row. And we also had on Derek Falvey. Was it 12 in a row, 13 in a row? Anyway, they won a bunch in a row. Derek Falvey, president of baseball operations, joined us on the Baseballs and Boring on the radio show to talk about how that happened. It's incredible. It was incredible. You talk about the importance of pitching staff. You talk about the importance of a bullpen. Go look at that Twins winning streak. ERA under a one. Now, I didn't know the ERA for bullpen can be tricky. Still, you get the spirit of the thing. ERA under one throughout that stretch, which perfectly segues into today's podcast. The importance of a bullpen, the importance of finding certainty in the bullpen, the importance of finding excellence in the bullpen. I turn to the FIP God, Fielding Independent Pitching, in case you didn't know what FIP was, FIP God, Aaron Bummer. I had never met Aaron before, but through the LLC, the Godfather, my boss, my co-author, Joe Kelly, said, you got to want to talk to the FIP God, Aaron Bummer, reliever for the Atlanta Braves. He was traded November 2023, for five players from the Chicago White Sox to the Braves. Why? Because the Braves understood the certainty, the need for certainty, some sense of certainty, some sense of feeling that you know what you're going to have in the bullpen, which is a rarity in this day and age of baseball. It is, and we talked about that. We not only talk about the origins of the FIP God moniker, but we talk also about how bullpens are being constructed and why it is important to find some certainty to pay for guys who you sort of know who are going to, you got an idea what they're going to do. Perfect example, as we mentioned in the podcast, at Dodgers last year. Perfect example. And that's what the Braves did with Bummer. And I just love this conversation because I am a huge, huge proponent of this. Just allocate resources when you think that you know the guy that you want to be an anchor, to bob and weave your way through a season with a bullpen. Instead of just doing what so many teams are doing right now, which is throwing a bunch of guys against the wall, hoping a few of them stick. Sometimes they do, but I'm telling you, there is such a value to having these guys who know the what's what when it comes to getting through a season, the ups and the downs and all of it in a bullpen. Aaron Bummer is one of them. He has pitched a ton of games in the last few years. He's been excellent since going to the Braves. So, and he was excellent on this podcast. All right, I appreciate everybody. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. We got a great week coming up. A great week. Thank you, producer Evan, for all the hard work and excellence that you do. Thank you for everybody following, rating, reviewing, subscribing. Thank you for going to the socials. As we said, at BB isn't boring. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. Here you go. Aaron Bummer of the Atlanta Braves. All right, there's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Aaron Bummer.
Fair enough.
All right, so I was told to call you something. What was I told to call you?
FIP God?
FIP God.
Oh, that's a Joe Kelly
special. Joe Kelly. All right, please tell me. I mean, I didn't ask for any context behind why Joe Kelly asked me or told me to call you FIP God.
Oh, we just talked about for a year, we talked about bad luck. We talked about all these things. And essentially, it was just like, dude, this sucks. You know, I was having a terrible year, and he was just sitting there like, you know what, we're just going to start calling you FIP God. Your FIP's great. I said, I don't give a damn about my FIP. But, you know, he was always a guy just kind of pumping your juices, and that was a way that he found a way to pump mine.
Oh, man. So did you embrace the FIP godliness, I guess?
I mean, it made me feel a little bit better.
Did it?
Other than my, like, 7 ERA, like, you know, the FIP.
ERA, being, come on, like, for know, relievers, it doesn't
you
know,
the mean. The FIP being a 2-something was like, all right, but then also when you get your teeth kicked in for a full year, it doesn't really matter what stat you look at. You want a better result on the field.
Eric, can I just tell you that as someone who rode the wave of hoping that Joe Kelly did really well for publishing purposes, I also relied quite a bit on FIP as well.
Yeah, that's the truth.
So, all right. So let's talk about a little bit about like the just really like what we should value in pitching, right? It's all over the place. Like it's, you know, where people are being valued different ways, relievers are being valued different ways, and I know this is a broad question, but for you, like, what is the thing that, like, we should lean into when we're watching, especially relief pitchers?
I mean, I don't know if there's necessarily one thing. Like, you know, there's things that I kind of pride myself in. You know, I think my biggest, you know, the most important thing to me is kind of, you know, K to walk percentage. You know, it's not necessarily even Ks per nine or walks per nine, but, you know, K to walk percentage, that I think that's, like, a really telling stat, you know, kind of how you're doing your job. Are you kind of, you know, are you striking, keeping balls out of play, and are you, you know, limiting walks, which essentially is free bases? Mm-hmm. I think that there's, you know, that's an important one to me. You know, even I like whip. I think some people have their thoughts about whip and certain things like that, but essentially if you keep traffic off the base paths, like, you know, probably less runs are going to score than if you have a lot more traffic on the base paths. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, you know, with relievers, I was just talking with someone about this, about how organizations view relievers. Like, I love the fact that this organization valued you.
Yeah.
Right? Because you represented certainty.
Yeah.
And I think that, but you also see in baseball that relievers are being churned through a lot. When you guys are in your community, is that talked about at all?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We talk about it with everybody. You know, you're just a middle reliever. You know, and like, it doesn't really matter if you're a starter 1 through 5, you know. If you're the number one starter or the number 5 starter, you put up your numbers, you're going to go out there and, you know, be successful. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter whether or not you started the first game of the season, last game of the season, whatever. You know, if you have one bad week, you know, we talk a little bit about ERA and things like that, but if you have 2 bad weeks as a reliever, you know, that's a season. You know, and that's easy for somebody, you know, that's easy for somebody to write off and say, man, that was a bad season. You know, that guy, you know, it's the variables of being a reliever are so much higher. But I think that there's certain things that teams value, like the Atlanta Braves do a great job valuing relievers. You know, they value the veteran reliever that could, you know, it's kind of, you know, maybe proven commodity, you know, a guy that's been out there and done it before. But you see a lot of teams that just want to, you know, find the cheapest way possible, and they'll keep churning through everybody until they find, you know, four or five guys that can mix and match until they run out of options, and, you know, then they'll find four or five new guys.
It's incredible. It really is. And, I mean, it's just, it really has become an accepted thing more than, I thought it was accepted last year. I think it's more accepted this year than ever. It's not turning, you know?
Yeah. It's, well, and I think that's the thing where it's now with the rise of, you know, the rise of analytics and the rise of, like, you know, pitch development or something along those lines. You know, I could, you know, I'm not that knee deep into it, but I could sit there and tell you, you know, I could read a computer screen and say, like, this guy's got, you know, this guy in A ball's got a chance to pitch in the big leagues. You know, it's a matter of, hey, does he throw quality strikes for 3 weeks? You know, does he throw quality strikes for a month? Okay, let's push him up there and say, like, let's see what happens. So I think that that's the ability to kind of build pitchers is definitely. Is definitely, you know, I think that's what causes the churning. But I think that there's the outliers that are going to stick around for a long time, and those will continue to always be there.
Give me, so, like I said, I love the fact, I always said, like, I love when teams say, we are going to value the guys who've been there, done that, know how to get through a season. Give me the case for that, too. Like, give me the case of having guys, and you know, example I'll give that I saw last year was Chris Marr, right? And that's one of a million examples. But there's a guy that a bullpen, and really, look at the Dodgers last year. The Dodgers had a bunch of 30-somethings, you know? So for your perspective, give me that case, which is you're a part of the case.
Yeah, you know, it's something that's the commodity aspect, knowing that it's, you know, I think what I tell a lot of young guys, too, is that, you know, being able to be a reliever, stay in the big leagues, and have a successful career is finding ways to get the job done when you don't feel your best. And there's a lot of young guys that I think that, and part of it, I think, is the minor leagues, to where you're not throwing back-to-backs, you're not, you know, you're not getting dry humped and then, you know, going into the game four innings later, things along those lines, to where I think that one thing for me that I've learned how to do very well, and I think most of the relievers that are here, you know, you find a way to pitch at 85%. You know, you find a way to get the job done at 90% of the best version of yourself. And if you can go out there day in and day out at 85 to 90% of yourself and get the job done, that's what matters. Because that means that no matter what, if it's, you know, Sunday morning at 11:35, if it's 12 o'clock at night, any of those things, yeah, guys are going to go out there and do their job, and you know what they're capable of, and you know what they're expected and they're going to do. And I think that's, like, that to me is one of the biggest things of, like, you know, the difference between making it to the big leagues and staying.
When did you realize that? Or when did that hit for you? Because, like, you know, obviously, like, you're resilient. You know, you have to sort of make your way. You make your way. You're valued as that guy. But for where when did that reality hit for you?
You know, it was probably 2019, I think. You know, it was 2017, 2018. I was kind of breaking into the big leagues, you know, pitching into a little bit of leverage, you know, just kind of, you know, filling the role as it was, you know, as it was needed with whatever we had. And, you know, 2019 kind of, you know, had probably the best year of my career. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, didn't matter if it was 2 days in a row, didn't matter what it was. It was my job was to go out there and get three outs or go get four outs. It didn't matter how I felt, didn't matter what it was, but that was the expectation. That was the expectation I put on myself. That was the expectation that my teammates, my team, you know, the manager, all those guys put on myself. And so that's something that you just start to carry and say, hey, this is my job. Doesn't matter how you do it, and you just got to get it done. And I think that's the same thing with a lot of relievers, where it's, you know, you can sit there and chase, okay, strikeouts, you can chase, you know, fly ball, what a ground ball rate, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, being a good reliever is all about just getting the job done. You know, if you walk in there and it's a 1-0 game and you load the bases, but you get out of there 1-0, did you do your job? Yeah. And so it's, that to me is like, you know, the hidden art of, you know, being a reliever.
Well, that's another part of it too, where, you know, if you get too many relievers in a bullpen where everyone's trying to make their way, right? Yeah. And it's all right. Like, you're going to have some guys who are just trying to make their way. But they're like, hey, I'm trying to learn a new pitch. Hey, I got to be my best because I don't want to be the guy that's turning over. Yeah. You have too many of those guys,
like, you have too many of those guys, exactly. Right?
So you have too many guys that are worrying about being tapped on the shoulder, not worried about, you know, what they're doing on the field, or they're finding reasons of, you know, they're trying to be something that they're not, compared to just being, you know, comfortable in their own skin and being out there and being the best version of themselves. And I think that's a, you know, I think that we do a great job of that, of allowing guys to be themselves, you know, allowing them to be themselves, be comfortable and do those things in order to go out there and have success, because that's what it's all about. You know, it doesn't matter if it's your first day in the big leagues or the last, like, you want to have to go out there and have sustained success. And it's like, what steps forward, what steps can you take in order to have that sustained success?
The definitely, like, defining, like, what you are as, like, that pitcher that you became came in the version of this trade, I think, right?
Yeah.
You know, trades are a tricky thing because, you know, whether you're win or lose, you have your guys, right? Yeah. You have your friends, and you came up with them. But then you also know the team wants you. When you were traded, what was your feeling? What was your thoughts that went through your head?
You know, it was excitement. It was, you know, a chance to go to a contender. It was a chance to go to a team that had World Series or bust, you know, World Series or bust in reality. That was a lot of it for us last year. And honestly, it was, you know, something that, you know, in the face of my 2023, where I felt like I got my teeth kicked in every other day, you know, I got Joe Kelly calling me the FIP God and all these things, like, you know, trying to bring this, like, sunshine on a cloudy day that was just a bad season. You know, for them to go out there and see the things that I do well, you know, and value, and honestly value the things that I do well, you know, that's where you want to be. You want to be in a spot to where you're valued with, to what you bring to the table. You know, it's like, you know, ground ball, you know, I pride myself in being able to get ground balls and strike people out, you know, which is a, honestly, there's not that many people that have, you know, really high K rates and really high ground ball rates. It's just something that doesn't really coincide. You know, me at my best, I'm very good at both. And so for that team and, you know, for Atlanta, you know, to value that, you know, that's important to me, and hopefully that I can make good on that promise that they made to me.
Cliche question, where were you when you found out you were traded?
Oh, me and my wife were sleeping.
You were?
Yeah, I got a phone call from Chris Getz, and we're like, what? It's 12:30 at night. What are we doing?
It's, oh, 12:30 at night?
Really? I don't know if it's 12:30 at night, but we were definitely
sleeping. Those calls are never...
Yeah, we were sitting there like, huh, okay, this is... Okay, well, it's going to only really be about one thing. Well, let's... Yeah, so it was good. It was, you know,
did you get back to sleep? It was like a five melatonin night.
Yeah, probably 5 hours later, we were sitting there and we're like, immediately started looking for a new place to live. Had canceled a lease in Chicago. Did all these things. We're like, all right, let's get a. It was good. It was a good time. So
what? So this is a broader question, but you seem like an intelligent baseball guy. What are some of the things for baseball that you like see on the horizon that is good and bad? I know that's a big sort of a question, but you know, we have all these changes. Like, in other words, whenever a change is made, I think a lot of people scream and yell, and they were like, okay, and they're like, the pitch, like, okay, you know, remember, like, we couldn't, how are we going to do this in the postseason? Now it happens. Nobody,
once you get used to
right,
it,
nobody cares. And then there's ideas where you're like, no, that's like where you know, the starter's going six innings.
Yeah, I think that I think putting any restriction on the way that you use your roster is not good.
Yeah,
you know, based on health, the flow of the game, any of those things. I don't like the idea of putting any restriction on the way that you use the players on your roster, the forcing of doing those things, any of those things. Honestly, one thing that I'm a big fan of that I think is, you know, it's not necessarily a rule change or anything. You're seeing the game be played a little bit more. You know, you're seeing more people bunt. You're seeing more people run the bags. It's like, it's turning into a less, you know, I don't know if the stats on it, whether or not it's a three true outcome anymore, but you're seeing balls in play. You're seeing a lot more things where swings are not as tailored just to home runs, but they're also tailored to, you know, putting the ball in play. So guys are shortening up, doing those things. And, you know, I think the aesthetic of the game has gotten better.
Really? Because I was just talking to, we just talked to Tim Myers about this exact thing. About, you know, like I talked to, Oakland A's shortstop, Jake Wilson.
Yeah.
Right? I just had on Scott Hatterberg, who was a scout for the A's, and talking about drafting Jake Wilson. Jake Wilson, Luis Arraez, slow bat speed, whatever, but the con, and how valuable those guys are to a team, to a lineup, where you have a lot of, like, not, this isn't knocking drive line, but like the whole swing up, swing to power, but how important, and if for a pitcher, you have a great perspective of this, right? How difficult it is if you have a couple of those guys like the Jacob Wilsons and Luis Arraezes, right?
That's the exact thing. Right? Yeah. It's like, you know, it changes that dynamic of it. Instead of like, you know, you as a pitcher, you know, are you sitting there chasing, okay, where am I going to get him to swing and miss, or where am I going to try and get him to, you know, like, worst possible contact? You know, that's a different, you know, that's a different plan for you as a pitcher, where it's, you know, you got a guy out there that can go out there and swing and miss. You know, you're sitting there saying, all right, I'm going to go chase the swing and miss, and go sit there and say, hey, I know I can throw this, you know, if I throw this, you know, curveball beneath the zone, like, that's a good swing and miss pitch. But the guy doesn't swing and miss, you know, and he's got a smaller, you know, he's chasing less than everybody else. How do you, you know, you want to stay ahead in the count. You want to make sure that he does these things. Like Luis Arraez, it's, you know, we always talk about Luis Arraez, like, we want to get him out in less than 3 pitches.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go out there and just throw 12 pitches to Luis Arraez for him to go stand on first base.
Yeah.
You know, you're not necessarily, it's the intricacies of the game that I think, like, it's, you're seeing a lot more of it, and seeing guys like kind of buy into their niche compared to just trying to fit into one mold.
That's a good point. Yeah, and like, for instance, like, we asked Rich Hill, I said, who's the toughest hitter you face? And he said Arise, right? And you're like, oh, well, obviously, if you go look, slowest bat speed in the game, which is incredible. Like, the guy is being identified as the toughest hitter, it's the slowest bat speed, which, by the way, Tristan Casas identified you as the toughest pitcher he ever faced.
No, I wish he was in there yesterday.
But it's, so for you, give me your toughest. Give me the guy. If you don't want to, like,
it was, you know who it was back in the Michael Brantley.
Who was it?
Michael Brantley.
Oh yeah.
That guy, Tom. You know, it was kind of funny that I always sat there and said, I'm never gonna throw a fastball away to Michael Brantley. You know, I'm like, and every single time he came up to bat, I was like, all right, I can sneak one away. You know, early in the count, I'm going to sneak one away. And then all of a sudden, he just hits a laser beam double down the line. And you're just like, all right, I'm an idiot. Like, I really need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Brantley always, he was, I'm sure that there's somebody out there that's probably just.
It's all good. It's like, it's a good one.
It really is. You know, I mean, there's guys like Rafi always puts up good at bats.
Yeah.
And it's, he gets to play with the monster. Like, he just kind of gets to flip balls the other side. You know, there's a lot of guys nowadays.
Yeah, but I love the like, your thought process through it. I mean, so this is the last thing, is that, so we talked about when Joe walked into the clubhouse with a box of books. Maybe he didn't. I don't know.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed. Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
About the books, right? Yeah. All right. Were you shocked? Were you like...
No. Dude, Joe's such a, like, an intrinsic guy to where I think that Joe's, like, once you actually get to meet Joe Kelly, he's such a different guy than what you expect. Yeah. You see, like, what's on surface. You see the, you hear the stories. You hear about Joe Kelly Fight Club. You hear about all those things. But then when you actually, like, you know, get to know Joe, that there's that purpose behind everything that he does.
Yeah.
And so, like, him writing a book and doing those things, like, it's, it makes sense.
So the chapter he's most proud of is Chapter 7, which is where he sat down with Rod Manfred.
Yeah.
And I transcribed the whole thing. And I said, Joe, you're a good interviewer because you say no shit after every second sentence. No shit, Rob. No shit, right? But so this is a question I would ask you. Like, if this was, by the way, which would be the equivalent, when I tell people that, it's like the equivalent of Ty Domi interviewing Gary Bettman, right? Yeah. Guy who's been suspended by this guy. But,
yes.
But Manfred loved it. Like, he loved it, humanized him, everything else. If you got that chance, if you, like, said, I'm sitting down with Manfred, and I know that you guys, like, he came around. What is something that you would want to talk to him about? And it doesn't necessarily have to be, like, oh, how dare you do this or whatever, but just something you want to talk to him about.
I mean, I'm always fascinated by the ownership side of things.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, like, the... But it's, like, what the... It seems that... To be honest with you, something that's interesting to me is I'm curious to see where he thinks ownership of baseball, like, moves forward. You know, there's rises of, you know, like, the Saudi investment fund, public investment funds, like, you know, these massive amounts of money coming from other places and that. Is there ever a certain point in time to where does baseball open their, like, is the goal to get as much, like, ownership to get as much money into it? Like, what exactly is the goals of ownership to kind of, like, there's certain teams that want to turn profits every year, and there's some teams that want to go out there and just win baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
There's some teams that, you know, enjoy, you know, the rise in the, you know, team value, you know, the valuations, certain things like that, to where is there something that they look for that they would like to change about that ownership structure?
It's interesting. It's actually one of the things I think Joe talked to him about is that, you know, ideally you would like to get younger owners in who, like, you know, like Mark Cuban style or whatever, of, like, who are clearly invested, who are clearly showing up to the field and everything else. But I think, to your point, you just worry, like, oh, well, this is an investment, or is it, like, you care?
Do they care?
Yeah.
You know, do they care? Do they want somebody to be, it seems like Steve Cohen's a massive fan.
Yeah.
You know, he's a fan that he's going to go out there and do what he's willing to do to win. You know, and there's some out there, some other owners that seem like, hey, this is an investment. We got to go out there, try and make it in the black each and every year. And, you know, we'll go from there. And so it'd be interesting to me to kind of see if, like, what the truth, like, do they care? You know, what difference, does it make a difference to them? Or is it just like, hey, you own a ball club and you can run it however you see fit.
Yeah. See? You should have written a book. Anyway. All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.